think we're all familiar with the Easter song, Were You There? We're going to sing it after we observe the Lord's Supper. But when we come to the cross, it's a haunting question. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And it draws us to ask some questions within ourselves. Of course, the literal answer is no. We weren't there. That happened almost 2,000 years ago. We weren't there like the witnesses that were described in the scripture passage that was read for us. Not like Peter, John, Mary. Yet the real answer to the question is yes. We were there in a real way as our sin, my sin, was placed on Jesus. Isaiah 53:6 says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Romans chapter 6 speaks of us being united with Christ through baptism into both Jesus' death and in his resurrection. That's the symbolism of baptism. We go down under the water as if going down into the grave. We're raised up out of the water as an act of participating in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So yes, we were there. Our sin was placed on Jesus as he hung on the cross. He felt the weight of my sin. He paid the price for me. And he paid the price for you also. I want you to come in our worship today, to come to the cross. I want to invite you to reflect on what the death of Jesus means for you and means for our world. I want you to come to the cross this morning, but I don't want you to come empty-handed. In our spiritual worship today, I'm going to invite you to bring with you to the cross five things. So come to the cross and bring your sin. Good Friday must be a day of repentance. How can we gather around the cross? How can we remember Jesus' death for us because of our sin without searching our hearts and our souls for the places where we have turned away? For the times that we've been disobedient. For the habits we entertain that are wrong. I don't know why we carry our sin along with us. I do it too. Instead of running quickly to Jesus, instead of running to the cross where I find forgiveness, sometimes I carry my sin around. I feel badly about it, but probably because of shame, I don't take it to Jesus right away. I'm ashamed to admit that, yes, I did it again. There I go again. You know what it's like? It's kind of like we're all dressed up for a very important party. And then we walk out the door, and just like a child can't resist a mud puddle, we go and we jump right into it. For whatever reason, we take the fall. But then instead of running back inside and getting cleaned up, we sit there feeling bad. We feel sorry for ourselves, feeling too ashamed. But while we sit there, we're missing the party. The festival is going on without us. My friends, let's hurry back and get cleaned up. Let us come quickly to the cross when we've sinned. Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. Our Lord promised to us, and he keeps his promises. He promised through John that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. And here's the strange thing. As you bring your sin, you will find it there already. You'll find that Jesus already carries it. It's already on his shoulders. And the reality is the penalty has been paid. He's just waiting for us to come, to acknowledge it, to trust him with it, and then to walk away free and whole and to live. Come to the cross. Bring your sin and receive forgiveness. The second thing I invite you to bring to the cross is your thankfulness, gratitude. Imagine being sentenced to death. Imagine you had committed a crime for which death was the punishment. You hear the verdict, guilty. You hear the sentence, death. And then you hear something else. Someone in the back of the room steps forward, walks up to the guards who have got you by the arm, and gently pulls the guards' hands off of you, and he offers his wrists. And they cuff him, march him off to prison in your place. You are free to go. Someone has taken your place. How would you feel towards that person? Certainly you would feel gratitude. You would feel indebted. Maybe a little guilty that someone else took the punishment that you deserved. But years later, as you watched your children grow and your friendships deepen and your face aging in the mirror, you would know, you would remember that someone else gave their life so you could live. Imagine that feeling and bring that to the cross. There's a third thing I invite you to bring this morning. Come to the cross. Bring your burdens. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes how the pilgrim realizes his guilt and lostness. And saddled to his back is a heavy burden of sin and shame. I fear that this burden upon my back will sink me lower than the grave, he says, staggering under its weight. But then he approaches a hill called Calvary. Listen to what John Bunyan wrote. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty, because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross. And a little below, in the bottom, the sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. What a picture. As we come to the cross, all of the burdens we carry, all of the sorrows, all of the things which weigh us down and threaten to sink us can slide off our back, tumble down the hill into the mouth of the grave of Christ. But there's one thing we have to do. We have to let go. And that has confounded so many people who have the relationship with Jesus Christ but continue to hang on to the pack, the backpack that's so full and so heavy and weighs us down. We have to find the way, the step, the surrender, to give up the burdens to Christ. It was Jesus who said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The promise is there. Don't miss it for your own life. Do you feel burdened with the pressures of life, with sorrow, with heartache, with pain? Oh, there's so much of that in our world. There's so much of that right here in our own congregation. You feel pressed on every side, perplexed, hunted down, knocked down. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. As much as the cross is a place of death, it is also paradoxically a place of life. That's what Paul says in that last verse. We share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen. Bring your burdens to the cross and release them there. Release them to Jesus. And that leads to the fourth thing I invite you to bring this morning. Come to the cross, bring your friends. The life that we have in Jesus must be seen. It needs to be shared. It needs to be made known. As we come to the cross and bring our sin and our burdens, as we experience a thankful heart for all that Jesus has done for us, how can we keep that to ourselves? It's like a beggar has discovered a banquet. And it's more than what he can eat for himself. And would he keep it to himself? It needs to be shared. How can we keep from letting others know what Christ has done for us? That's the simple essence of being the witness that Jesus calls us to be. Sharing what Christ has done for you. Do you remember the story about the man born blind, whom Jesus healed in John chapter 9? After the healing took place, the Pharisees began to investigate this healing, started asking the man healed and his parents a bunch of questions about Jesus being a sinner. And the man simply replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." You don't need to have a theological argument all laid out. You don't need an answer for every objection that someone might raise. You need simply to share what Jesus has done for you. I was on a road to condemnation, and now I have a home in heaven, and I know that that's my future. So bring others to the cross. Bring them first in prayer, asking Jesus to draw them to his love and to his good news, that the Spirit of God will wrap the love of God around them. Ask for opportunities to show them what Christ has done for you. And then finally, fifthly, I invite you to come to the cross and bring your heart. There's a reality that as we gather for worship on Good Friday, as we sit in the presence of the cross, as in our minds we go back to what Christ has done for us, and participate spiritually in some of what happened on that day, place ourselves there, it can not be anything but a time of decision, a moment of decision in our lives. I know that many of us hold back. We give part to God, but not all. We want him to be Lord of some areas of our lives, but not all. We want to follow when it's easy and comfortable, but he calls us to follow always. During Jesus' last week, a Pharisee came to test Jesus with a question. Which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." The word there is all. You know, Jesus held nothing back from us. He gave it all. And he asks for all in return. So come. Bring your sin. Bring your burdens. Bring your thankfulness. Bring your friends. And above all, bring your heart. Let's bow together. Father, we wait before you this morning. Thank you for a sanctuary where we've been able to draw aside for this brief time. And Lord, thank you again for the images of the cross and the grave. Thank you for the truth that is stated in the Word of God so that we can know and we can participate. Thank you for the spiritual reality that we're there at the cross. And we have the privilege of meditating, of thinking about what we bring to you. But Lord, as we come to share in the communion today, as those of us here this morning who choose to take that walk to the front to consume the symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, may we come very thoughtfully and very carefully, that we realize it's a participation in the death of Jesus Christ. That in your amazing reality you have provided for us. Lord, we recognize that Good Friday is a time of reflection, of meditation, of repentance, and of choosing to respond to what you did on that day of crucifixion so long ago, as our sins were on you and you paid the price. Our hearts are full of gratitude. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, this morning we're going to take part in the Lord's table in communion.